Blog Talk Radio.
Came into the lobby there, and God bless you, and God keep you is my prayer. We're hoping that everything's going all right with you on this another Tuesday night Bible study, and so we just want to say that we give God all the praise and honor, and we thank him for being able to sit here, and as I promised, the prophetic return, I returned and go back to the prophetic series on tonight, because there are some things that I just want the body of Christ, and not only the body of Christ, but it's the people that are outside the body. Because it's our job, y'all, to bring everyone into the kingdom. That's our job. We are to try to bring everyone into the kingdom. And I remember Jesus saying that everyone was welcome at his Father's table. So that means everyone. Everyone means everyone. So we... That's kind of a privilege and a blessing to be able to do these Bible studies. Now, I know that a lot of people do not care for Bible study. A lot of people don't care for spiritual things at all. But nevertheless, we can't help that. We must do what thus says the Lord, regardless of whether they – I look like to me, I hear Apostle Paul telling Timothy, preach in season and out of season, when they want to hear and when they don't want to hear. Do it. And so that's what we – are mandated to do, and that's what we intend to continue to do. So right here, we're going to say that I got a few announcements that I'm got a couple of announcements I'm going to make, and then we're going to go right on into the prophetic. And we want to, first of all, we want to give honor to God. We want to set the table right by a moment of prayer. So you y'all please bow your heads for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for life, health, and strength. Thank you, Father God, for as well as it is. Father God, we thank you for being the master of the universe, creator of all things, Father God, maker of heaven and earth. Father God, we ask that you be so ever kind to the people that will tune in to this broadcast tonight. And those that might tune in a little bit later on in an archived version of this Bible study, we want to say, Father God, bless each and every one of them as you see them standing in the need of. Father God, we realize that everybody's not on the same accord and everybody's on different levels. But Father God, we ask that you will bless them and keep them and bring them and let them see the marvelous light so they can come in and out of darkness. Father God, give the saints of God, give the, your saints, Father, the strength and the courage to stand firm in a mean and dark world. Give us the strength, Father, that we might still proclaim the truth regardless of the people that don't want to listen. We must stand firm. Father God, we thank you for your darling son, Jesus, the one that died on Calvary's cross, that we might have a right to the tree of life. And then, Father, when we come down to the river of Jordan, getting ready to cross this life journey, ending it and going to the other side, we ask that you would shape your word as a vessel, bury our souls on a cross in the Beulah land, where we will rule and reign with you henceforth, now and forevermore. And let everybody say amen. We thank God for you. And tonight, I want to use in the as a reference song, one of my favorite groups, one of my favorite quartet groups from days gone by, the Sensational Nightingale. And because of the subject matter that I'm going to be touching on tonight, the name of the song is called Saint, Hold On. Saint, Hold On. Them Nightingales could sing it too. And I tell you, that guy, he's no longer with us now. He passed away a few years back. His name was Calvin McNair, and that boy could straight blow. That Calvin McNair was a straight, stunk-down gospel singer. And he was the one that led this song, Saint, Hold On. And from the night study, we'll be coming from this here subject matter about saints holding on, and when I speak to y'all in the prophetic. Just got a couple of announcements. We're not going to bother. We don't have many announcements. Like I say, the various churches have not all went back into the sanctuary. They are, we got some of them that are yet doing virtual. They're doing it on the phone calls, the phone lines, and whatnot. And people, I'm just going to be honest with y'all. People are running to and fro. Because of the media got the media has really got people confused, scared to death. I mean, you just got to tell it for what it's worth, y'all. I mean, the media got people listening too much to Washington D.C. and the news, and therefore they mind about messed up. So it is my prayer and hope that God will ease their troubled mind if the people would just realize and look to the hill that you tell us in 121 Psalm. Look to the hills, which is God's mountain, instead of capital hill, they'll be better off. But nevertheless, we don't have all the churches going back into the sanctuary just yet. So therefore, it's not that many announcements that I do have, but I do have a couple of announcements from my church that I'm involved with. As a matter of fact, the New Salem CME Church, my first Sunday church, Pastor Reverend Ernell Wilson, head steward there is Brother Fady Clark, and we got the other officers like Secretary Janice Gilbert, as well as her husband, he's a steward, Brother Jesse Gilbert, we call Blue, affectionately we call him Blue, and we are so glad, for all of the other members of the President of the Choir, Sister Fadara Clark, which is Fady's daughter, and Sister Janet Gilbert, my classmate, also is the one that she came in to assist Sister Fadara in the getting the choir back together. So really, truly, I think both of them, they can shove the title of president of the choir, because either one of them, it doesn't matter, because we are just that type of people. Great people. Great people. Outstanding people. We went back into the sanctuary on this past Sunday, and may I tell you that we really had a hallelujah good time. Okay, I see somebody in here that I'm not familiar with, but thank God for you for coming in. I think it says webcam. I'm trying to see here. Y'all got to forgive me. My eyesight is not the greatest, but I think it says webcam, something HDSE. I don't know. you might could elaborate a little bit better on it. Hey, that's Jack. I see you just got in there. Thank God for you as well. But as I was saying, we went back into the sanctuary on Sunday at the New Salem. And my, Reverend Ernie L., my buddy, we all go back to school together, high school. He preached a powerful sermon Sunday. And I even posted it on Facebook. I said that Reverend Ernie just straight showed out. And I mean that in a good way. I ain't talking about in no word way. I'm talking about he just went on and put the word down. And I mean, he throws it down. And everybody that really did enjoy. So that was what went on with me on this past Sunday. I wasn't at my home church. I will be there, though, on the second, third, and fourth Sunday. To all of those that may have came out to any of y'all looking for me on this past Sunday, that's where I was at. I was at my first Sunday church. All right, first Sunday, I'm at New Salem CME. And on the second, third, and fourth, I'll be at my church, the Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, where my pastor is, Reverend Christopher Wiggins. Head chairman of Deacon Board, which I'm a deacon myself, but the chairman is Deacon Harry Richardson. And our secretary is financial, and our church clerk, church secretary, Sister Dorothy Downey, Sister Marjorie Lakes, as well as we got other officers there that I will. Matter of fact, I'm going to give every one of them a shout-out. Sister Al Joseph Murphy is the head of the ushers. She's president of the usher board. Sister Honey, I call her, and Doris Thomas, is also the president of the choir, the Antioch Mass Choir. And yours truly, I'm a deacon, and I'm the minister of music. We got some more officers there, and I'm going to get all that together because I want to give everybody their proper shout-out. And I will do that at another Bible study up on a different format. But tonight, we want to go ahead on now, y'all. And I'm going to ask y'all to do something. Do me a favor. I want y'all to do me a favor. I want y'all to do this on your own. Because, see, I don't have a limited time on Blog Talk. And I love to go on and get through with my Bible study on Blog Talk because that's the platform I started on. Now, I can go as long as I want to on this here live stream. I can go as long as I want to. But for the Bible study, for Blog Talk, it's got to be in that 30-minute, 45-minute time frame because it's going to cut off. And I think I owe that to the people that have been following me for so long. In so many years, I've been doing this. And I just wanted to let y'all know that's the reason why I want y'all to do some reading on your own. Because I cannot spend a whole lot of time reading, you know, this stuff back on here. And I won't get a chance to explain the things, the gist of what I'm trying to do and let y'all understand the concept. So now we're saying here, I remember I said the Nightingale. Saints, hold on. That's the song that I'm referencing tonight. And those of you that don't know, just look up the Sensational Nightingales and type in Saints, hold on, if you want to listen to the song, and you will know exactly why I used it for tonight. My brothers and sisters, I want you to read this on your own. I want you to read the entire chapter when you get a chance of Genesis, the 15th chapter. Genesis, the 15th chapter. I want you to read in y'all spare time, in your devotional time. I spend my devotional time early in the morning. I mean early in the morning. Y'all sleep when I'm up. I know it. I know y'all don't get up early as I do. I know you don't. But at any rate, I do my devotional most of the time in the morning. So you just take your time, read the 15th chapter of Genesis. For tonight, this is where the prophetic utterance will be coming from. I told everybody weeks ago that I was gonna show you how that prophetic move and how God moved prophetically. And in the chapter 15, you'll find these things. You'll find these words. Abraham did not have any kids, no biological kids, none from his loins. At this time, and he was already an old man, but he didn't have any seed. I promised Abraham that Eleazar, which was the Syrian, he was not going to be his heir. He told Abraham that he was going to have a child from his loins. And then Abraham said, how will he know, how can he be for certain that God would do this? And then God showed him, told him how he was going to do it. This ain't going to say now, y'all. Got to read the 15th chapter of Genesis. Then you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about, and you'll see it for yourself. God told him to go and get the animal that he was going to use for this here covenant. It was going to be a sacrifice made. It was going to be a covenant made. It was going to be a covenant cut between God and Abraham. But now I want y'all to notice something. Now when you get to reading that, you will see that when Abraham, my brothers and sisters, when he got the pieces of the animals together and divided them and everything, he put them fashioned in the order that God wanted him to do. God put Abraham to sleep. Let's stop right there. God put Abraham to sleep. Okay, y'all, walk with me a little bit here. Look at what God did. Now, this was, in so many words, this was a covenant that God was not going to let man mess up. That's following now, and then when you read it, you're going to talk about it. But as you noted that God put Abraham to sleep, he took man out of the equation. Y'all see what God did? He took man out of the equation so it couldn't be messed up. That's why he put Abraham to sleep. God to out in the book will tell you when you read that when the time came in that evening, that smoking furnace came through those pieces of flesh and them sacrifices. That was the spirit of God. That was God himself cutting that covenant. God cut that covenant himself. Abraham didn't have nothing to do with it. Because God said man wasn't gonna mess this up. Because now remember, man had them messed up twice. We messed up in the garden, and we messed up that in the Noah. We had messed up that too. So now, but God cut a covenant. This was really the second covenant that we see God cut with man in the earth after he created. The first time he made the covenant was with who? It was with Noah. When God made the covenant after he destroyed the world for wickedness, that's why he destroyed it, for wickedness, he cut the covenant with the rainbow. The rainbow, that's a covenant, y'all, in case a lot of people don't know that. And I know a lot of people don't know it. But that rainbow that you see in the cloud, after it come a cloud over the earth or rain, and you see the bowl, that's a sign of the covenant that God made with the earth in Noah's day after the flood. And the covenant that God made then was this. It was a covenant with the earth that he would never again destroy all flesh with a flood like he did during that day. That was the covenant. But now we catapult forward to Abraham. Now we see God making another covenant. Because man, even though after the flood, man still became more wicked, you know. Babylon, Tower of Babel. Man ain't going to stay there. They going to double themselves. That, you know that wasn't going to work. God wasn't going to hear that. And you can see that to this very day. We still can't govern ourselves. Look at Washington, D.C. Them a bunch of idiots, in my opinion. You ain't saying all of them are, but to me, you got a bunch of dummies up there. I would rather for Daffy Duck to run this country in some cases. I would rather for, we would probably be better off with Yosemite Sam and Daffy Duck, because the way they cut up there, they act like children in grade school instead of grown women and men, and stop and having the government be about the people and not about their agenda. I just call it like I Because if it's quiet, I call it a duck. I don't know what y'all call it, but if it's quiet, I call it a duck. God had to make another covenant. So this time, he put man out of the equation. That's why he put Abraham to sleep, and he walked through the pieces himself, because this covenant wasn't going to be messed up. This covenant wasn't going to be messed up. And I'm going to go on a jump 2 more thousand years for y'all. That covenant was going to bring our Lord and Savior into this world. That's what that was all about. See, Jesus had to come because we were lost, y'all, on our way to a burning hell without Jesus. But see, it was something that my sister, my buddy, they got a ministry. Those of you that are local know this. Those of you that are local know this. But I got a buddy, and his name is Tyrone Lingo, pastor of this. They have a church over in the Albany, Georgia area. West Broad, those of you are local, go by there and check them out. It's called Loving Hands. But here's why Betty said something. I was over there on this past Saturday, and she said something that was profound. And I don't know why people miss that. And it is so correct. Everybody in hell so quick. And when Jesus came to die for the sinner, Jesus don't want none of us to go to hell. God is not willing that nobody perish. And we need to stop trying to put people in hell when Jesus is trying to keep them out. But hell are church folks. Oh, man, I'm so glad with Betty. I call her Pastor Betty. Because her and my buddy Tyrone, they both pastor the church, Loving Hands. But it was so profound of what she said. This is what that covenant was that he cut with Abraham. This covenant was going to be the fulfillment when Jesus came into this dark world to die for me and you, all of us. That's what that covenant was. But let me tell you something. That's like what I told y'all to read the entire 15th chapter. In other words, you'll understand what I'm saying. He told Abraham that he was going to have a child, and he did. He also told him that his descendants, not him, but they will be a stranger in a strange land, and they will be ill-treated for 400 years or 4 generations. That's in your book. Well, all you got to do is read Exodus, and it shows you that, well, after Joseph had called Jacob, his father and 12 sons on down, into Egypt. It was 70 souls that went down to Egypt, but they grew and prospered. So God excavated them there to build a nation of people that would obey. That was the plan. But he told them that they were going to be ill-treated, and they were ill-treated. Look at the prophetic. See, God, don't nothing take God by surprise. He told them this. Then the Pharaoh dealt treacherously with them because they grew, they were. And he, even though he told the midwives to kill the firstborn male, to make certain to kill, the midwives just refused to obey the Pharaoh. How come we can't disobey stuff in our culture when we know it ain't right, but we just go along with anything? Some of us will go along with anything. I just hate to say it, y'all, but it is the truth. Some of us will go along with anything. If they give us a little government cheese and grit, we'll go along with it. We'll sell our soul for a block of cheese and a bag of grit. But nevertheless, God told him. God said they were going to be ill-treated 400 years. And so they were. Hard labor, taskmasters were put over. And they mistreated the children of Israel so bad. But the more they mistreated them and put the labor on them so hard, the more the old people grew. Why? Because God was with them. Just like he's with you and me. You can't stop what God started. And you can't start what God stopped. Amen. Well, at any rate, saints, hold on. That's like I told y'all about that song. Listen to that song, Saints, Hold On. You'll get the gist of what I'm finna say. When God sent Moses down to Egypt and told him, tell Pharaoh to let my people go. I want y'all to read that. God knew the Pharaoh wasn't going to let them children go. God already knew that. God even told Moses. He said he's not going to let them go because I'm going to harden his heart. God told Moses that. God, Moses wasn't surprised that Pharaoh didn't let them children go because God had told him. He's not going to let them go because Pharaoh will harden his heart. This is the prophetic, y'all. God said, I'm going to do it. Why? God not only had a plan to deliver his kids out of Egypt, he had another plan that he was going to get rid of Egypt for good. See, y'all, if you just stop trying to help God, let me just, God don't need your help. He don't need my, get out of God's way. When God gives you something to do, you do what he tells you to do, and you leave the rest to him. He told Moses, he ain't going to let him go. God had a different plan. See, Moses and them was looking at a deliverance out of the land of Egypt. That's what they were looking forward to. But God was looking forward to a drought. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? Huh? God was looking forward to a drought. Because, see, God will only let sin and unrighteousness go until it fulfills itself. That's not going to be told Abraham way back. He said, the Amorites are not full yet. I'm going to bring y'all back to this land, but you can't get it at that time. Why? Because the sins of the Amorites is not full. There is a place and there is a time where God gets tired of your mess and mine. Y'all better hear what I'm saying tonight. If you don't never hear nothing else, you better hear what I'm saying tonight. There is a time and a place where God will give you up. Now, people don't believe that. They say, oh, the Lord is loving and kind. Yes, the Lord is loving and kind, but you better read your Bible. He said, when the Amorites sin is full, I'm going to bring y'all into the land. I can't drive them out because their sin is not full yet. In other words, they have not come to the fruition. But once they were wicked, though. They were some wicked, wicked people. And look, they lost the land. See, when you always going to lose when you fail to do what's right, you always going to lose. And this is, y'all, the prophetic. If you study the prophetic, you can't go wrong. You will know what time we're in. And if anybody got a teaspoon of sin, and you can see a little bit better than Ray Charles, amen. If you got a teaspoon of sin, and you can see that much better than Ray Charles, you ought to know that we're in a mess right now. We've been in a mess. You got some people that are trying to do what's right to the best of their ability, but then you got some could care less either way. They just want another block of government cheese and another bag of government grits, and they'll be fine. They'll walk right on off in the hell for that, and they'll have toasted grilled cheese sandwiches down there, I reckon. I guess they that is the way. But the prophetic tells me, through, and it will tell y'all, read the 15th chapter of Genesis, how God brought everything to pass. And Abraham and Sarah had that boy named Isaac. They went and did something on their own, but that wasn't God. See, when you get in your flesh and trying to help God out, you always make a mess. They had an Ishmael, the man of war. Right down to this very day, that Middle East is in turmoil with Jerusalem. That's a family feud over there. The Arabs and the Jews, those are first cousins. We and everybody else. Yes, I said it. We and everybody else need to get out there with that family business. That's a family feud. It's Abraham and Sarai when they had Ishmael, and then they turned around and had out. That's where the family feud started at. Why? Prophetic. Why don't we know that? Because we won't study. We won't study. We just think everything's just happening. Everything, don't nothing just happen. There's a cause and an effect for every event on this planet. You either follow the Holy Spirit and prosper, or you don't follow the Holy Spirit and you will suffer for it. We got to tell you the truth. God is not willing that none of us should perish. But y'all better look, y'all better study the Bible and see what God, when your sin gets full, the wages of sin is death. God ain't changed that. The wages of sin is death. But the God says it's eternal life. Who is that here? Our Lord and Savior. The seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ. That's the gift. So now, guess what? We ain't got to go to hell. You choose to go to hell. No one goes to hell blindfolded. You're going to choose it. It's just like this here man of sin that's coming on this world pretty soon. I'm going to tell y'all something. Do y'all see the way the people just bow down to everything about this COVID? They just bow down to it. Nobody questioned nothing. Well, this is the way it's going to be with the man of sin. Come on. You're not going to, they're not going to fool nobody, because if they fooled you, it would not be authentic. People are going to free willingly disobey and go against the grain, and knowing that they, because if Satan would deceive you, it wouldn't be legit. Just like in the Garden of Eden. Now, he deceived Eve in the garden. Yes, he did. But you got to realize one thing. And I know we done ran out of time on Blog Talk Radio, but I'm gonna use a couple of minutes of grace with it and say this much. Satan did deceive Eve in the garden by telling her the truth mixed up with a lie. Because he said, God did not want you to do this, because he knows that the day you eat of this fruit or whatever it was, it could have been a watermelon or a pear. It don't matter. It was disobedience. It was disobedience. He told a lie mixed with the truth. And then so she let her eyes and her stomach got in trouble, just like we still do to this very day. And she ate the fruit. That was direct disobedience. But the one thing that we fail to see, I'm talking about the prophetic, y'all. The one thing that we fail to see, yes, he was deceived by Satan. But the one thing that we fail to see is that this one thing, God never gave Eve the commandment. He gave the commandment to Adam. You see what I mean? That's how come we can't blame Eve, but I'm going to punch Adam right in the mouth when I get there. I'm going to punch Adam in the mouth. That Lord, please let me get one punch. I want to hit him right in the mouth, because he was the one that disobeyed. Flat footed, because God gave him the commandment. He never gave Eve no commandment. In fact, if you read your Bible and study it, you will see that God gave Adam this mandate before he ever made the woman. You see what I mean? So this is how come we can't just go blaming Eve for everything. Man, we were the one that really messed up. But nevertheless, the prophetic thing was there. God told Satan what he was going to do, that the seed of the woman would crush his head and he would bruise his heel. Well, y'all women folk, you're not. Let me tell y'all women something. Y'all know y'all ain't got no seed. Y'all ain't got no seed. The seed come from the man. So why did God say the seed of the woman? He was letting us know that this was going to be a miraculous child that was going to come to redeem. See, we had sin on us. Every man child that we bring into this world, every baby that is born after the original sin was going to be born in sin if they come from this body. Because we are sinful. Therefore, it could not come. That's why God said the seed of the woman. It was going to be supernatural birth, a virgin birth. And that we know that Jesus was that child. And he did bruise Satan's head. Jesus crushed his head at Calvary. That's what but look what happened to Jesus at Calvary. His heel was bruised. But oh, he crushed Satan's head wide open. It is a done deal, y'all. It's a done deal. Prophetically, keep watching the clock. This is what I'm telling you. Stop believing everything you see on the news, getting confused and getting upset and worried to death, can't sleep at night. Please lay down and take your butt to sleep and stop worrying about it. Say, God got this thing. You think God's sitting on his throne with his hand folded and rubbing and rubbing. God's not worried at all, because he already knows where they're going. And he done told us. I don't know why we, yes, I do. Some of us refuse to study. And a lot of us that really don't know. We really do. We are ignorant. That's how come in the New Testament it always say ignorant. The Apostle Paul always called them the ignorant brothers. Ignorant brothers. We, even the law said, my people, for lack of knowledge. Oh, my God. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for listening on this night. I'm going to go and shut it down now because I know I'm running out of grace on Blog Talk right now. But nevertheless, y'all, read Genesis 15, and you'll see the plan unfold. But God took man out of the equation, and I'm going to tell us tonight, when we take man out of our equation and let God be God, we're going to see our situation change too. But as long as we keep on thinking that Washington, D.C. got answers, y'all going to be up a lot of nights. And your hair going to turn white as snow, worrying about what those clowns are doing up there on Capitol Hill. And that's all I'm going to say about it. Thank y'all for coming. Sister Jackie, Brother Hammerman, and the other person that was there, webcam, we thank God for you, whoever you may be. We are asking y'all that we hope that we y'all have heard something that make your day brighter and your burdens a little lighter. Y'all trust in God, and he will make everything all right. And so with that being said, we're going to end this here broadcast in the right and perspective way by saying, may the grace of God and the love of Jesus, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest, rule, and abide with thee, thy people, henceforth, now and forevermore. Let everybody say amen. Thank y'all for coming, sisters and brothers. And it's my prayer that y'all be blessed, be safe, don't be sorry. Keep God first, and everything will work out all right. Until the next broadcast, next Bible study, next video, whichever comes first, be blessed, and good night.